and welcome to episode 577 of the League Rundown. This is your 2025 LTA Split 3 Week 7 review and LEC Split 3 Playoffs Week 1 review. This episode is lovingly entitled, The Finals Before the Finale. I'm your host, Kangas, and joining me, I have two esteemed co-hosts. Up first, fresh out of the can, we got Badger.
Hollow Knight Silk Song. I know we talked about this. I don't know if we can't remember if we talked about it on the podcast. I did not play Hollow Knight 1. And
you
I
didn't.
Jumped into Silk Song. Yeah. I'm doing an experiment with my coworkers. They're all huge Hollow Knight fans. And we were talking about it. I'm like, yeah, I've never actually played Hollow Knight 1. And they're like, they made Silk Song so you didn't have to play the first one leading into it. And I'm like, okay. So I'm trying it, and I am getting my ass kicked on shit that I should not be getting my ass kicked. And I just keep saying, they're like, oh, don't worry, you'll get better as it goes. I'm like, yeah, but y'all have like a full game up on me of experience with it. And so,
yeah.
That's yeah, like it's saying, great.
Oh, you can play Elden Ring without playing Dark Souls. Like, you don't
yeah,
have to
understand. Yeah, exactly.
That's actually really funny. I'm playing through Hollow Knight 1 right now. My goal was to finish it before Silk Song. Did not accomplish that. I've been doing a lot of other stuff, but I am in the end game of Hollow Knight. There's obviously like multiple different endings, or at least I say obviously. I've been told there are multiple different endings based on like how much percentage you beat the game and certain things you do. So I don't know like how close I am to a complete ending, but I at least am getting close to like the finale of the game. Very fun game. Excited to try Silk Song. Haven't done it yet. But also joining us on the cast this week, we have Mr. Mazel PL.
Hello. Excited to be back.
You've played Hollow Knight, right?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you have not. Okay. Have not. All right. Are you going to try it out now that Silk Song's out, or do you want to do the same thing Badger's doing?
No, I would want to play Hollow Knight first. I thought about buying Silk Song, but I was like, I'd rather play Hollow Knight first.
Yeah, sure. I'm of the same mind. I like to play games in order like that. Sometimes I will do it out of order, but like I Witcher 3 came out and I was like, "Well, I got to play Witcher 1."
You really don't.
I did play Witcher 1. I had fun with that game. I thought that game was pretty dope. It's janky as hell, but it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Then I played Witcher 2 and I got stuck very early cuz I had like a chip on my shoulder. I wanted to beat it on hardest difficulty.
That game was fucking difficult if you weren't prepared for it. Like,
yeah,
it actually was insanely hard.
I just cannot wait to sink my teeth into Borderlands 4.
Oh, that releases.
It's out today.
It came out at 9 a.m. this morning.
I thought it came out
for
the 12th.
Like 12 hours now.
Nope.
Yeah.
It came out at 9 a.m. this morning for PC and 9 p.m. tonight for console.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. Because, yeah, I was going to get on Switch too. So, and I checked the shop today.
Oh, don't get Borderlands on Switch.
Cyberpunk 2077 ran perfectly fine on the Switch too. Just going to say it. You know. But however you're playing it, if you're members of the community and you're going to be playing Borderlands 4, let us know your thoughts on it.
We got to play Steve.
In the community Discord. Oh, yeah. We can do co-op on that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess only if I get on PC though.
No, I think it's cross.
No, you can play cross-platform.
It's cross-platform.
Beautiful.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm going to be hanging on my couch with my pro controller.
Hell yeah.
I'm trying to make an active effort. Part of it is like a little, it's not really sunk cost fallacy. That's not the right term. But part of it is like, I bought a Switch 2. I need to freaking buy games for it. to make it worth the purchase, right? But also, it's just fun to play on the couch. And like, I'm having so much fun just going out there. Because then Sam, like my roommate, when he's coming out of his room to like get food or something, he'll see it, be like, oh, and like come over and chill on the couch. And like, we're just like playing couch co-op games. Or just like, I'll like pass a controller. Like, that type of fun, like playing a game with somebody else there, you just don't get when you're playing on PC. So, yeah, you should get it on Switch too, Mazel. Bring your Switch 2 over and then we'll play it together.
I see.
There we go. All right, well, that's enough talk about games that are not the game that we're here to talk about for the podcast. That is League of Legends. Quick update, Around the Horn Worlds qualifying teams are already starting to come in. Worlds is right around the corner here. Pretty much every region is in the finale of their playoffs to determine their Worlds representatives. No LCK or LPL teams, at least from my understanding, have been determined yet.
Nope.
Correct, guys?
I mean, yep. Besides Gen.G. But
yeah, well, Gen.G did auto qualify basically like halfway through the split. They're not listed on the Leaguepedia page though, which is interesting. But either way, according to Leaguepedia, we have
because they have to make it to playoffs, right? Technically.
Oh,
they're already there.
Huh.
But is the season over yet? The regular season.
Regular season's over. They're in the first round of playoffs right now. Are they playoffs is already going on right now?
You know what?
I was thinking maybe they were going to wait until the playoffs started.
Regardless. Regardless, I'm just going to say Genji are making it, because if they don't make it, that would be the craziest.
No, Genji actually has the history of the league. So
LTA, we got FlyQuest as the first seed from LTA North. We're going to talk about how LTA North conference finals looked this past weekend shortly. But then we also have Vivocade Stars from LTA Seoul as the first seed. So VKS, welcome to Worlds. LEC has two teams already based on how their playoff round one went. G2 and McCoy are going to be two representatives for LEC. They're just going to be playing for a seeding order now at this point, and then waiting to see who that third team challenging them is. We'll give our thoughts on who that can be again shortly. But LCP, the fifth region, did pretty well at MSI, and we got CTBC Flying Oysters along with PSG Talon, both already qualifying for Worlds. So six official, seven, because I believe Genji are locked.
Genji qualified on July 23rd.
Beautiful. So maybe they just, you know, forgot to add it back then, and somebody thought they did, so they're not on the league.
No, it's page. So if you look at the, if you're on Leaguepedia on the Worlds page and you go to the participants thing, they're in the qualified for play-in stage, because technically their lowest possible seed is fourth, because they could still
tab, yeah.
they could just bomb out of playoffs and they would be the fourth seed, and they would have to play China for the play-in.
That's a good point. I did not realize that. They are on the sheet. It's just, little bit below all the other ones. Thank you for that catch. Seven teams already guaranteed going to be present at Worlds in some capacity. Other news things. Let's go around the world and get our updates on what other teams could be. Mizell, LPL, what's the update going on over there? Who are the favorites to make the run either for the LPL title and then also for Worlds?
Well, so far, Top Esports and BLG are looking like the dominant forces. They have already booked themselves into the upper bracket finals, and if they win there, whoever wins is going to guarantee themselves at least one of the seeds for the LPL. Just depends on which one it ends up being. They have looked ridiculous. BLG is back to their ways. They had to sacrifice Shadow. He got to play one game to start the start the playoffs. They got absolutely mollywopped. He got subbed out, and now all of a sudden they all are playing the video game like normal. It's actually crazy. They're going back to the old BLG ways where they're just like forcibly trying to hands check every single team they come up against, and they're coming up the better of it. Like, their early games look like absolute trash, but then they just find clutch moments in a lot of these fights. Top Esports looks a little bit more consistent for sure. I think Kanavi is having a field day with the switch to the kind of assassin jungle setup that we've had. A lot of the Qiyanas, Nefiris, Zeds, stuff like that really coming to a fold between the two junglers. So I really want to see what that upper bracket's going to be like, but they're already one step away from the grand final. And then JDG just beat EDG last night to ensure that they move forward in the lower bracket. They'll be facing Weibo here very soon, a matchup that we know very well. EDG are out now completely. They fell 3-2 to JDG. The next couple matches that we have going are NIP versus AL, because AL found themselves in the lower bracket after losing to Weibo 3-2 in the first round. And IG also lost to BLG in a 3-1 fashion just the other day, and now they're in the lower bracket too. And so only one of AL or IG are going to be able to move forward if AL beats NIP. Which is crazy to think about. Obviously, there's still like championship points to think about, so it's not necessarily doom and gloom for either of them, because they both placed pretty well in the previous splits, but it's still something to think about.
That is very interesting, but it's looking like Top Esports, and you said
BLG.
Oh, it was BLG. Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right. Yeah.
Told you, they sacrificed a jungler, and all of a sudden, they're really good. Shadow hasn't been seen since that night. That's all I'm saying.
Ooh, has anybody checked on him? Do we know how his health is? Now I'm concerned.
They found a pentagram in the back. I don't know. Yeah.
And a piling or smoking pile of soot in the middle of it is crazy.
There was a, like shadow, a shadow on the wall.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Badger, what's going on in the LCK? We know Gen G is at least, very minimum, going to be fourth seed and have a chance at fighting China's fourth seed. But what else do we think for LCK and how things are shaping up in playoffs for Worlds contenders? Is it still just T1 HLE is kind of the next two in line?
Yeah, pretty well. So we had the first round of playoffs, and T1 and Dom1, of course, went to five games because Dom1 plays to the level of their opponent. After they lost to FearX in the play-in stage, they promptly came back around. FearX beat Nongshim 3-1 to make it to the actual playoffs itself, and then Dom1 beat Bro and Nongshim. So Nongshim is out, so Kingen will not be going to Worlds this year. And then...
Damn.
Yeah, that's a wild thing to
Another
think about.
World but champion.
FearX is insane because Diabol and Vikla have been insane in this playoff run. They did just lose to KT Rollthrough the other day, though, so we... first round of playoffs, T1 beat Dom1 3-2, KT beat FearX 3-1. Gen.G had, of course, the selection between KT and T1, and surprise, surprise, KT Rollster was the pick for
Gen.G.
That's Gen.G.
wild. No
I know,
way.
That's crazy. Why would they do such a thing? So Gen.G versus KT is the first matchup in the upper bracket, and then the second matchup will be Hanwha versus T1. Pretty much winner of Hanwha T1 is, I believe, guaranteed to go to Worlds, if I'm reading this correctly. Yeah, because they'll make upper finals,
yeah,
so they would be top
just
three.
First through fourth, right? They qualified. Yeah. They don't have like another tournament afterwards. Or
yeah,
like
yeah. They because
like
this
that.
Is all for it, and then. Yep. So, and then on the bottom side in the loser's bracket, to have to run the entire gauntlet to make it, either Dom1 or FearX would have to win three straight best of fives to
Crazy.
Make it to Worlds, if I'm reading this correctly. So,
well, there's those, four teams that make it in, so you just have to, you'd have to win one, two.
They'd have to win two.
Yeah, it's only two best of fives
pray,
to make it to Worlds, right?
Just pray on, actually, yeah. They would just have to make it to round three because round three would technically be top four. So,
but that means that you're beating like KT or T1 or HLE or something like that, which is going to be tough for either of those teams to do. But not impossible. So it's not like DK and BFX are out of the picture yet. But
yeah. So we had playoffs are Saturday and Sunday morning are the upper bracket games. So Gen.G KT is Saturday, Hanwha T1 is Sunday, and then next Wednesday is the Dom1 versus FearX series, which is a weird time to have that. I'm not going to lie.
That is. But I got to ask you a question, Badger, because based on how Worlds format works, it's Swiss rounds. Seeding is like first seeds versus fourth seeds. If we're assuming, and actually maybe this is a question I can ask Mazelle as well, what team are NA fans rooting for so that we can get a lucky fourth seed draw? As FlyQuest's first
Weibo
opponent,
Gaming.
They're our first seed. We want Weibo from LPL. Who do we want from LCK? Badger?
I mean, realistically speaking, KT of those top four teams. But if they draw, I think Dom1 would actually be a really good draw into some of the NA teams, just because Lucid and Showmaker just run the map really well, and I think they could exploit mid jungle. Out of
no, I'm
whoever.
Saying that the one that we can beat the best. So don't give me that. Give me the
right. Oh, okay. Well then, fuck it. FearX, like
yeah.
If FearX goes on the miracle run and then Vikla repays the favor to NA by losing.
That would
as
be
the four versus one.
Vikla versus FlyQuest at Worlds and losing would be poetic.
That'd be
justice.
So fucking funny. I would.
And then
I would actually
end the
drink myself
streak.
Into like. A coma and wear my Prince jersey while this is all happening in real time right in front of me. But
that'd be incredible.
It'd be fine.
All right, okay. Cool. Well, thank you for the updates, gentlemen, for LPL and LCK. We're going to keep our attention on that even closer now as we're getting into that Worlds conversation.
It's that time of year.
By next week, we'll have LPL representatives guaranteed for Worlds, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we'll have at least a bigger update. Every region will have at least one team that is guaranteed representing the region. Depending on the seeding, they have to finish out their playoffs, but they'll at least be there. Other news going around. Humanoid has left Fnatic. Bobby has been playing for Fnatic for the last split here, and now Humanoid officially does leave the team, so we'll see if any teams pick him up going forward. That's the news in LEC. Some little small thing happened here in NA. Mazzell, a little birdie told me that sometimes you should just shut up and not talk about something that you are not qualified to talk about. Specifically when you're streaming in front of an audience, and specifically when that thing is something historically just handled poorly by gamers. Let's put it that way. What happened? Can you catch me up to speed?
Pueblo made some of the dumbest remarks I've ever heard from any single fucking human being. I think his sexist remarks on stream talking about how women shouldn't play on their period, they should have a second account when it's that time of the month, the wrong time of the month, which is just the worst thing you could possibly say, but also...
Yeah.
How stupid can you be to not only do that and have that mindset behind the camera, but also to do it on camera? I just think my thoughts of this guy have gone through the fucking basement. I will not be supporting him again. I don't care how awful his apology was on Twitter and the fact that he's not being really punished for it, at least as of yet. But immediately going from one of the highest highs as a player, as a fan of a player, to... I don't even want to think about this guy when he's playing the game. I hope Gakkos gets the spot over him in the long run, and I hope that his career ends up coming to an end.
Any percent speed run tank in a career. He's going for the record right now. And it's one of those things...
Dokla's sitting pretty, baby.
Dokla has been on a field day with that news that just dropped. That was a couple days ago. It was one of those ones where, like, I watched the clip and I was like, it starts off and you're like, that was weird, but, like, I guess you're trying to, like, make a point that, like, women need more support in gaming, but then he just keeps talking and you're like, oh, no.
You're like, oh, no, please. Oh, no, hey, no, stop.
This is not
stop
going it. Where I thought that was going. He's like, yeah, like, women just don't receive enough support in esports, especially around their time of the month. I'm like, oh, wait.
Hold on a second. No, wait.
as somebody who grew up with three sisters, I was around plenty of my sisters going through incredible things. They accomplished many things. Women do not just their lives don't end when they're on their period. They could actually accomplish a lot, and that's a very very like 1950s mentality, like type of misogyny. So that was very disappointing to hear from Whippo. So, awkward moment for the scene, awkward moment for him. He has been suspended for their first round in playoffs versus Vivocade. It will be Gakkos playing. No confirmation on if they're going to play Bwipo going forward. I imagine they will just because they want to win and do well at Worlds. As an organization, it's really a weird thing to have in FlyQuest because they also have like women teams competing in other esport titles. So it's like, are they going to platform him or are they just going to go with Gakkos? It might come down to how Gakkos performs versus Vivocade. We'll see. Other variety topics, check out WASD controls or WASD controls, if that's how you call them. They are on the PBE, so if you have a PBE account, go check them out. I've given them a go, and they're fun. I don't know if I'm going to make the change. I'm a support player, so I don't know. They don't really feel like they elevate support very much, but Mazzell, as the resident AD carry on the cast, are you going to be trying to like transition to WASD controls?
Going forward? Hell yeah. As long as you're not playing Kalista, I think it's going to be so OP for ADCs.
I didn't even think about Kalista, honestly. That would be kind of weird. I only have like eight directions to jump in. But yeah, I mean, like the ability to kite, some mid laners are going to love it too, like Orianna, Cassiopeia. Mm-hmm. Anybody that you want to be able to strafe and throw abilities out a different direction, really get a buff from the WASD controls. Also, I have come full circle. I always say WASD. When they said WASD in the video, I was like, what? It's not called WASD. And now I'm like, it's kind of fun to say WASD. So they won me over. It's WASD controls now. Badger, do you agree?
I'm a WASD believer.
I'm a WASD believer.
And that's fine. So. That's fine. That I will monopolize the fun of saying WASD on this quarter. Other than that, that's all the news that we got for right now. Let us know if we missed anything. You can let us know in the community Discord, link in the description wherever you are listening. And also, if you want to help support the pod, you can support us through our Patreon or through our merch shop, league-rundown-shop.fourthwall.com. Links to both of those are also in the description. Let's talk about some League of Legends now. We had two different playoffs going on this weekend. One of them was a wrap of the LTA North Conference playoffs, also known as the Elimination Phase. If you notice the broadcast, we also just kind of gave up calling it the Elimination Phase exclusively because every team was calling it that. Every player was calling it playoffs. Every like fan was calling it the playoffs. So we were like, you know what? It's the North Conference playoffs. We're just going to call it that now with like the asterisk Elimination Phase afterwards. But that wrapped up to determine our seeds for the teams going into the LTA championships and also knocking out the one team that was not going to be attending. And then LEC had their first round of playoffs. So let's start with LTA North over here in America. Badger going through LTA North. I guess we don't really have standings to catch up on here. Just talk to me about the weekend. We had three series. What was the first series? How'd it go?
So the first series of the weekend was C9 versus 100 Thieves. And by God, did it get spicy. We had the return of mid lane Viego back to the States. We had a Vladimir in game 5. We had, you know, God, it's exactly what you want.
Taric, right? Didn't Ayla play Taric as
well?
Yeah,
so I was like, I'm just like trying to think of like wrapping my brain around it. It was
there were a lot of fun Taric picks.
Yeah, it was fun picks. We had, you know, Quid getting to play Melee champions again. You know, a lot of Melee champions got the Akali and Akali Yon and the Viego itself. So I don't know. It was just. God, there's so much that happened this weekend with like the games that I'm like trying to like wrap my brain around. Like,
there was a lot going on. I'll give you kind of the synopsis of C900 Thieves. It was a back and forward brawl throughout the series, very entertaining, and honestly, it kind of felt like C9 should have been able to win if Blabber just didn't get picked at the very end of game 5. There was a very interesting tweet that went out ahead of the show. So on that Friday, we had this like segment where, hey, chat, like or like the social media and chat, we asked them to give us questions or topics to talk about, and then we address community topics on the show. Sometimes Waiting Room does that. One of them was, if C9 lose, it's time to move on from Blabber. Because this is now multiple splits, multiple years that he's either choked or just not been able to get them there. So at what point are we going to like accept that Blabber's part of like the issue? And all of us disagreed with the take on the cast. But then in the moment, it was C9 Blabber that gets picked off. He's playing Trundle. He's hovering around mid lane. He gets Pantheon ulted behind because he's spotted out, dies. That's Baron, and that's just the game right there. So... thoughts? I want to get both your thoughts on that take. It was a very hot take that C9 should move on from Blabber. He's like their franchise player, goat of jungle in North America. But it's an interesting topic regardless of if you agree or disagree with it. So Mizal, I want to get your thoughts on kind of like how the series ended and the conversation around Blabber right now.
I think it's just too much of a conversation. I think he deserves a lot of the respect that he gets. And while I think it has been a little bit tough, I don't think Cloud9 have fostered an environment that he does well in, maybe. So, like, a change could be good for both. But I don't think that Blabber is bad. I think he's just had some bad moments.
I agree. I also, well, I'll give my thoughts afterwards because I want fresh opinions here first. Badger, what are your thoughts on the Blabber situation with C9?
Why would they get rid of him? I mean, I totally understand, like, oh, he had some bad series and they haven't been successful with him. So what? Only one team can win. Like, they still are a team that's... How many times have they missed Worlds since they came into the league in 2013?
They have missed it, I believe, three times now. And this is the first ever time that it's back-to-back years. Mm-hmm. They've never missed back-to-back years, but now they have.
See, I think people, it's just that's an overreaction at this point, you know. You
I think there's a lot of blaming that can happen for that series, and yeah. Some of that goes to bot lane for me. I think yes, there's some stupid bonehead decisions made by Blabber, mm-hmm. but I think it was a team game and a team loss.
Yeah. I think one cool thing, I got to interview Blabber after the series for the losers interview. Really, really tough moment. I mean, you can tell on camera and also just in the moment next to him, it was weighing on him because he knew like what he did and like how that all ended. But he did give props. He was like, this wasn't a game 5 loss because of draft. I know a lot of people are going to talk about that because it was a wacky draft, right? Like it was kind of crazy at the end there. But he and the team felt confident in the composition that they were drafted. It was like, mm-hmm. you know, Nick Smith takes a lot of the heat for us, but like that one was on us. That one was not on him. So I like hearing it when players are willing to kind of shoulder that responsibility. And I also am of the same mind. They don't need to move on from Blabber. First off, I don't even think there's a better option out there. So it's like, what are they going to do? Import a jungler from somewhere? No, I would much rather them stick with Blabber. And also, I just agree that like it's an overreaction to say that he's the problem. He needs to go. So, but I still wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that overall. That was the first series. 100 Thieves, they won it. The heist continued. We had this whole bit running through the weekend of like how many heists are 100 Thieves going to get? They had another one on Saturday. Mazel, what happened on Saturday's broadcast? Shopify Rebellion versus 100 Thieves.
That was a doozy. Remember how we said earlier on in the year that we were like, or I guess even not that long ago, we're like, contracts at Palafox, if they show up, they could take any team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. I think 5 chairs were empty in that series, and 100 Thieves were playing against Ghosts. It's 3-0 for 100 Thieves. They looked super dominant. I think Shopify just didn't look good across the board. I think the connections between Palafox and contracts were very questionable. We didn't really get much of a step up from anywhere else. I think B-Void got a bit gapped as well in that series. But 100 Thieves took a holistic 3-0.
Exactly. Yeah, it did not look like there were many moments that Shopify Rebellion were actually, you know, pushing it against 100 Thieves. And then the big moment was in game 2, Quid. Okay, first off, Quid hits a 5-man Yone ult. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Second of all, Palafox brain controls his entire team to walk into a Rise yep. Ultimate.
That's set the thing up the in all of it. It's just Yone like, why are you walking into Rise Ulti there when like you see Yone on your screen? Like,
yeah. Also, you could just to like, play goalie and like either sacrifice himself or just like distract Quid so that the team mm-hmm. could get away. But yeah.
But like, the series was over before it was even over, bro. I was coming out of game number one. I was like, anytime you see a vibes difference of that much between the two teams, you already know the series is over. Like, the entirety of 100 Thieves was laughing. They were joking. They were running all up. They were going a little bit too ham, but they were having fun with it. And Shopify, every time you look back over, they looked like they were on their deathbed. They were about to die. Yep. And they did, right? Like, that's unfortunate. They did place third, but it's very, very much telling, like, early on in that series that 100 Thieves was going to win.
And it sucks for Shopify in the sense that that's 2 third place finishes in a row. This team has talked very publicly. Members of the team have talked on interviews and on different content pieces that like they are not satisfied in third place. They want to make sure, want to prove that they can do better. Hey, third place back-to-back finishes isn't bad, but you know, it's not satisfying for their kind of expectation of themselves. Contracts pulled out the Zac game 3. That was kind of exciting. Fun to watch, but he got doogied on by River on the Lee Sin. Awesome to see Lee Sin come back in. Also, FBI's Lucian. Dude, we got a highlight play level gameplay from FBI this split this year on his Lucian pick. B-Voy as well. I think Lucian in general is just like a very high-powered pick in North America, at least. I'm hearing around the world it's not as popular or only played in certain comps, but here it feels like when our AD carries feel like playing it, they're going to play it and they're going to pop off on it, so that's always fun to see. But yeah, 100 Thieves, they carry that momentum in. They get the chance to step up to the champs. FlyQuest crushed the upper bracket. 3-0-ing Team Liquid, 3-1-ing Shopify Rebellion, and they only dropped one other game. It was a 3-1 win for FlyQuest in the LTA North Conference Split 3 Championships. But man, was it actually pretty close. Like, this was the game number one. FlyQuest had to come back. They were behind a significant amount of gold here, but then it was Masu really stepping up, having a monstrous performance on the Yanara. Busio finding really good engage to shut down. This one was the Bwipo, finding the solo kill on the Dokla in the bot lane, and then them pulling the trigger on Baron. But then 100 Thieves, even though they get the Baron, they all get basically wiped afterwards, and the game's pretty much over after that. But until that moment, it was actually pretty 100 Thieves favored. So that was tough to see. We didn't even cover the drama going into this one. So there's a whole story, a whole like arc here that happened in finals. All the player walkouts. I got to do the player walkouts. Really fun. But one notable thing happened, Badger. What happened, or rather didn't happen, during player walkouts?
So, normally you have your lane opponent on the other side that you get introduced at the same time, and you go out, like, either shake hands, give him a fist bump, something like that. Bwipo went for it. Dokla, stone cold, just denied it. Just nothing. Didn't acknowledge him whatsoever, moved out onto the stage.
Yep. No fist bump in response to Bwipo. Bwipo gave a look, audience chuckled, Twitch chat said, huh? And then the series began. Game one, it was Dokla actually stepping up, getting monstrously fed. But then at the very tail end of the game, Bwipo's able to 1v1 him despite Dokla's lead. It was Rumble into Embessa, so if Embessa has ult and has everything available, it is hard for the Rumble to win that. But then Dokla dying solo in the side lane is kind of the catalyst for FlyQuest winning that game. So that was like, oh, this is going to be good. Like, Dokla had a really good game one until the end, and now he's going to be angry and step up. And then, in game number two, it was tank v tank. Dokla's playing Cassante into Bwipo's Sion. But, dude, Dokla was playing this lane so aggressive for a tank. I've never seen that aggressive of a Cassante trying to find solo kills on a Sion. But it was mostly the kind of FBI quid show here. FBI on Senna was just, like, insane. This guy is probably his like best pick right now in the meta. And then Quid on the Aurora as well, having really, really solid performances. And they just punished Masu over and over again. They had a better lane swap early, and then every time Masu was anywhere on the map, River on Vi was there, and Masu just could not play the game, got really far behind. And that was kind of the catalyst for 100 Thieves winning game two. So, boom, even series. Then game three rolls around, and by this point, FlyQuest, they were in their groove. I mean, game three was so dominant. I don't even remember the score here. Was it one kill for 100 Thieves? Did they only pick up one?
Yes.
One of the games they only got a single kill. I think it was this one.
Inton, obviously.
Yeah, right.
Inton for the team, 100% of the deaths.
So this was the one that... there was a lane swap from 100 Thieves. They had FBI, Ayla, and River on Nefiri around the top side versus Bwipo's Aatrox, and Ayla does the worst turret dive we've seen in the finals.
Two turret shots before Bwipo even moved from underneath his turret.
Yeah, like, he went too fast under turret before the wave got there, took two turret shots, ran out of range, went back into the turret once the minions were under there, and he tanks the turret shots instead of the Nefiri. He gets hit by Bwipo's Aatrox chains, flashes, and then still is in range to get pulled back and dies to Bwipo's Q3. It's like, oh my god, no. So that one's not on Dokla. That one, Bwipo got fed because of other things happening around the map. And then things did not look good at all for 100 Thieves. And after that, again, it was just all FlyQuest. Game four was kind of fun. We got Giga Flex with Quid going Lee Sin mid and River going Zyra jungle. Really messing up the draft for FlyQuest, but it didn't matter because Quid dies level one, teleports mid, dies to an inspired level two gank, and then the game's just kind of over from that point. So, interesting finals. I feel like there's a huge level of just weirdness that happened in this finals. Afterwards, again, when they're doing fist bumps, Bwipo goes to Dokla. Dokla does not fist bump Bwipo. That aged very well into the week, I will say, as part of the reason he's on a tear. So, Mazel Badger, I want to get your opinions. Mazel, rate the weirdness of this series out of 10, between the flex picks, between the, like, not fizz bubs, between, like, the weird plays going on. What would you rank it?
weirdness level.
I mean, like I don't know. I was having fun with it. Against the wall, at least in mid, definitely 100%. Like, you know what? Fuck it, we ball.
Dude, I was having fun with it.
So I was called Yone band. Like, I'm just like, you know what? I'm gonna do just got to pull out the Lee Sin. You know that that's what's gonna get you to the promised land.
He had played it twice before in pro games and was 0-2 on it. So now he's 0-3 on it. Unfortunately,
not great.
I saw the vision, just didn't work out.
I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? I think I tweeted it after the series, but I know you called Blabber the goat jungler of NA earlier. Unfortunately, I do not think that's anymore the case and hasn't been for a while. Inspired is the best jungler by far, heads and above every single other jungler across the entirety of the Western regions.
Yeah. Okay. When I say best NA, I mean like NA player, like best of the
Native
North American.
Well, you know, Inspired is like an NA player now. He's been here long.
this guy
literally gaps every single series he's in. It is insane how much of an influence he has on every single game. It's just so impressive. And even in the games that they lose, I don't think a lot of the time it's because of him.
Yeah. He, in game 4 on Trundle, ganked 3 times in 5 minutes.
Every lane,
got 2 kills and multiple summoner spells, and was still farming at the rate of a Zyra.
Yep.
That was crazy. Like, I don't even understand how he did that. It was just so efficient. So yeah, I definitely agree. Inspired is kind of our shining star on FlyQuest at this point. Scary to think his contract is up at the end of the year. So let's see what kind of ritual sacrifices they're willing to make to keep him around. Hey, maybe they can save some money in top lane now, you know?
What, not rostering 2 players? That's crazy. You know?
That goes to the moon.
All right. But that's how the last weekend went. Congratulations to FlyQuest for a back-to-back title run. They win split 2. They win split 3. And they got revenge for 100 Thieves, who actually knocked them out in split 1. That was a surprise upset that 100 Thieves was able to take that one in split 1.
Can I talk about the elephant in the room?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. What's the elephant?
And feel free to evoke the Fifth Amendment? I don't know. I've never had to do that. If you want to, you don't have to say anything at all. I promise. If you're just quiet, we know and we will move forward, Kangas. But I got to bring up the fact that FlyQuest got to lift a trophy for what was one of the most underwhelming finals I think I've ever seen in my entire life. Up there with first split finals too, which was very awful. But this is like the end of this is the last LTA North series in this entire year. That it's LTA championships next. We do not play another LTA North series. They've lifted a trophy for I don't know what. And I think in a way I would rather see them not lift a trophy and just have a normal exit. But like I also see the reason of wanting to make it feel special because it's the last game for them. But I think we kind of just went down the middle and it made it so much worse. So, I don't know, Badger, if you want to talk about that, we don't have to, but we can move forward, leave Kangas out of the conversation. But I asked everybody around in different discords, like, if I'm not crazy, right? Like, it's weird to lift a trophy for that series.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, the sports ball example of it is, like, they do trophy ceremonies when you win, like, your conference for baseball or, like, something like that. But, like, this is like we're so far away from them even being. I mean, I don't know. I think it's weird. Like, good for you. You won LTA.
They didn't win anything. Like, you get first seed, you get an immediate spot going forward, right? But like, you still have a tournament ahead of you.
Yeah, no, it's. I think it's so fucking weird, especially with the new format and everything. You can win another
trophy.
Honestly.
You're gonna walk away with 2 trophies in the span of like a month or less.
Yeah, span of 3 weeks. I won't give like. Too many thoughts, but I will share. No, I mean, I'll share the thought from the broadcast side of storytelling. It was difficult to give this weekend like the gravitas that it deserved while not giving it 100% of my energy because I knew there was more coming. For example, the player walkouts. I knew I was like. I'm going to do this for FlyQuest again in a couple of weeks. So, like, what do I say about them? I don't want to give the exact same walkouts back to back, so I have to say something slightly less grandiose than what I'm actually going to say the final time. So it really made it but also for me, like, personally, as a broadcaster, I was kind of auditioning to be like, I have to do a good enough job that they can see the vision that I should do this for the finals as well for LTA. So it was like a really weird balance. And talking to some of the others, I won't like name names of broadcasters, but in general, that was a not like foreign thought for everybody involved with the product. It was like, it was tough. It was difficult to like to know what we were supposed to do and how we were supposed to kind of like balance the grandness of the moment. So yeah, I can understand it being a little awkward and falling a little flat, because, you know, you're right. 3 weeks from now, we're going to do it again. So what a format. Fun times.
Okay. It happens. I had the thought, whatever it happened. And again, like, I think there's a world where it's okay to be grandiose in that situation and label it as it's the regional final. Like, that's a big moment. You just, like, you bring out the red carpet, you make it a big moment, and that trophy makes sense, right? Because like Badger was saying, like, all those regional and even like the conference titles, right? Especially in NFL and things like that. Like, those are celebrated moments. It's not as celebrated as the big time, but it is still celebrated. Right. And I think there could have been a world like that, but it felt like we were too scared to go all the way into that avenue and make people think that we're overdoing it for this, but we also wanted to show a little bit of effort. And so it's just like, again, it's one of those moments where it just like lands in the middle and you don't get the best of either world. But yeah, that's it.
I can see that for sure. But I can also tell you again that on our end, we were also in our feedback meeting like, whew, that execution.
No, you guys got some good heads over there.
And the big takeaway that we all left the meeting with was like, okay, well, at least that was a learning moment, and now we just get to do it big for actual finals. So, yeah, like, exactly. the bright side, the silver lining, is that going forward, none of what we just did like ruins what we're about to do. So, yeah.
And who knows? Maybe that'll be the last time you ever have to do that if they change the format.
No, what a world that would be! Could you imagine if that was a case?
Rip America's Challengers. Like what? Sorry.
We all just wake up next year and it's like, did 2025 happen? I don't think it happened. I think that was actually just like,
what's the LCA?
Well, hey, there is still the LTA happening, though. It is the championships now, with the top three teams from LTA Sewell versus the top three teams from LTA North going up against each other. First two weekends will be here in Los Angeles, and then the finals weekend, which will be all teams that are going to Worlds competing. It will just be for seeding order and also for crowning the first ever LTA champion. That will be in Dallas, Texas, 3 weeks from now. Kicking things off, though, we have two best of fives, the beginning of the cross-region play, or rather, cross-conference play. Oh, man, the difference between conference and region, I say the wrong word all the time. Cross-conference play. 100 Thieves versus Pain kicks things off. And predictions-wise, there's a lot of faith in North America. Badger, I'll buy some time for you here so you can throw your predictions in. Mazelle actually has 100 Thieves 3-2. I have 100 Thieves 3-1. I have a little more faith in them, but I do think that like players like Teton are very exciting to watch, so I wouldn't be surprised if this did go longer, especially because 100 Thieves is a team that kind of plays to the level of their opponent, similar to, you know, I forget which one of you said it, but there was a JDG or one of the LPL teams. I think you said Mazelle. I think the 100 Thieves are very similar. Oh, it's about Don Juan. Okay, there it is. But either way, Badger now has 100 Thieves 3-0, actually.
Oh, so yeah. I like the LTA North versus LTA Sewell thing, but like, I just feel like there's a huge gap between North and South right now. I don't know. I haven't done enough prep on the South teams, but like, everything that I've seen, it's just, you know, they play to try and hand stiff, and that's like their over reliance on the game, and it just feels like, you know, 100 Thieves and Shopify are teams that can just do the hands game better than you can do the hands game, plus have the brain aspect of it as well.
Sure. Mazzel, I'm curious if your thought process is similar to mine. The reason I have 100 Thieves dropping a game is because, again, they play to the level of their opponents, and 100 Thieves often win games in NA by sucking the enemy into these hands check situations. So if they're against a Brazilian team that also does that, I think that there will be games that get out of control, because sometimes, like, if you just lose an early fight and they start to snowball, yes, you can out macro as well, or like take better fights later on, but like, I think Pain are good enough to at least get one. And Mazzel, is that kind of where you were coming from as well?
I guess a little bit. For me, I think my NA bias tilted it over the edge for me in this one, because I do think that 100 Thieves can lose this. I think Pain definitely look like the better team out of the two, which is hilarious because we'll talk about the next game recently and my vote there. But I think Pain can look really good on the day. I think they have really good like hands in a lot of fighting situations. They just don't put themselves in a good place to set that up in a lot of cases. So if a good 100 Thieves shows up, I think it makes the difference. I think then maybe it's like a 3-0, but I expect a little bit of chaos. I expect the fandom to also just be very much in Pain's favor, even if we're in the LA studio. And I think it's going to be tough for 100 Thieves, but I want them to win. So I voted 3-2.
Okay. All right. Next up, we have SR versus Red. And as you would kind of tease there, you actually have Red taking
Shopify Rebellion are dead.
3-2. Shopify Rebellion are dead. Their world's run is, or world's chances are over. And also a final win here, or rather, finally, a win here for the South over the North. A reminder, the South cumulatively in split one picked up a game. It was an 8-1 record, North versus South. Mazzel already has been 5-5 on the first weekend here for split three. That's very exciting. Wild. And I think there is some evidence. I mean, look at how well Furia did at MSI. They pushed G2 to 5 games also. I know Furia is not here, but like Red had a hell of a run in the South playoffs, kind of having a similar run to 100 Thieves, just getting 3-0 in the finals instead of 3-1 in the finals.
Yeah, and they took down some of the NA's best developmental talent to get to this point for Red.
Maybe Griffin,
so
yeah.
I think it's really big to highlight that, but I just think Shopify are dunsies. I don't know. I'm probably wrong. Ooh. I will hold that accountable to myself. Like, I'm probably wrong, but we've had crazy stories across every playoffs. Obviously, LCK is just now starting. LPL, we've already had some crazy upsets with AL and IG getting taken out in the first round. NACL has had crazy playoffs. We even had some craziness with 100 Thieves run in the regional playoffs for LTA North. Something's got to happen. And I don't think FlyQuest are dropping in that upper bracket. So I just have this feeling. I just have a feeling. And yes, okay, it's going to be 5-gamer. I think it's going to be a tough one for Red. I think they could just get 3-0'd on the day if Contracts decides he wants to win. Yep. But I think it's going to be crazy.
I mean, going back to your earlier point of just how defeated Shopify looked after game one in their series versus 100 Thieves, if that's the mental of the team right now, yeah, I'm worried for them as well. I have them winning at 3-1. Badger, you also have a 3-0, so you're doubling down on NA, just sweeping.
I'm doubling down. I've seen this story before, and I liked the ending. So,
well, fair enough. That's our thoughts on LTA championships. We no longer say LTA North now. It's no longer LTAN. It's now LTA. I hate that. Nope, it's just LTA. Because now it is the cross-conference play to determine the world's representatives. One more spot up at Worlds. It is going to be VivoCade. It is going to be FlyQuest. Everybody else, these four teams, are fighting for that one last spot available. But we'll talk more about that next week once we see the winners of round one. For now, it's time to hop across the pond over to EU and the LEC, because we also had playoffs begin for them. I know we kind of like unofficially wrapped NA's playoffs because it was the North Conference playoffs, aka elimination phase. This is the official LEC playoffs round one. We're into best of fives, and we had four of them. Badger, we got treated to a marathon of LEC with a super duper week. That's what I call it when there's four games. That's the first time I've ever
super
called it that.
Super duper week.
I'm going to call it that from now on. A super duper week.
Yeah, these three best of fives were just so great to watch.
Well, there were four. That's why I'm saying super duper. Well, there's an extra one in there.
Kangas.
Oh, you're saying Kangas, the one that no Kangas. One should watch. Okay,
can we call Giant X versus BDS a best of five that looks like a beatdown?
Yeah,
it looks like a slaughter.
You know what that looked like, Badger? It looked like my boys showing up. Let's go GX. I'm riding that momentum all
genuinely
the way.
Genuinely speaking,
prediction
though,
bank.
Like it is insane how much worse that group is. Like,
yep.
If you look at it from top to bottom, just like, holy shit.
Every single group two team lost, I believe, yeah, except for G2. G2 is the only one from group B that won a series. Yeah. Every other group B team lost their series to the group A teams. Yeah, it's a little bit of a diffy. But walk me through kind of what the weekend looked like. It started off Friday with Vitality versus Team Heretics. And before that, also shout out to the cast. It was the three of us last week, and we got 100% prediction rate for LEC. So everything did just basically.
Did we actually? Oh, yeah, because we all picked the group A teams. We picked all the group A teams in G2. So yep. It was pretty easy at that point. Yeah, so we started the weekend with Vitality and Heretics. Quite the matchup on paper when you think about it. I mean, it's the B team of France versus the B team of Spain, just, you know, clashing. What am I wrong? Koi versus KC, I mean, like,
yeah,
we got it's wrong. Like, all right, let's bring in the JV, you know, French versus Spanish Civil War, like,
pretty funny.
So Vitality wins 3-1. It was close at times, but Vitality just had the grasp on the series the whole time. I mean,
hey, you know what? You know how to summarize this one?
Flacka got a Felios game one.
Flacka got a pentakill, and they lost the series.
So yeah, Flacka
got... Game one was like literally... This should have been a 3-0. Game one was a base defense. They were at their Nexus turrets,
yeah.
And then he wins a fight. They push out. They get a pentakill in mid lane, close out the game, and game one's like,
we've
that
heard
was
of
a
the,
throw.
We've heard of the Teddy 400 CS Sivir win con. I've never heard of the Flacka 500 CS Felios one. He finished the game with 25 and... Over 25,500 gold. Yeah, he had 506 CS. He went 12-2-1 on Felios.
I didn't even notice that. That's crazy.
He was the actual Nexus turret itself. Like he was the Fountain Laser at that point. Like, who am I kidding? He was six full items against a team that just wanted to dive into a Felios, which is, you know, exactly what a Felios wants you to do into him.
And he played that last fight very well. Like, he earned that pentakill for sure.
Yeah, he earned it. It wasn't one of those that it was just, I'm slapping him with the wallet. Like, it was actually an earned one. Like,
yeah, everyone's diving onto him. He had to flash out. I thought he died in the middle of it because, like, there's five bodies on him and you can't even see his health bar. But
unfortunately,
yeah,
that was, like, the only shining light of that series for him. Vitality was able to handedly take the rest of the series. Karzy and Fleshy, a player that we were just like, yeah, I'm just like, all right, you know, Fleshy, just, you know, our the IMT Fleshy came over.
I know
over.
I was worried about Niski leaving. I was excited for him to stay as support, but Fleshy has actually looked pretty good on this team.
Yeah,
so.
the Pike in game four was disgusting. Like, you have the mental advantage at that point. If you're just able to pull Pike out in game four of the series and just be like, all right, we win. Just, we're good.
EU classic. Every support's got to play Pike at this point. So that was series one. Vitality do take it 3-1. Then, like you said, GX, BDS, this was just a beatdown, man. GX just made BDS look embarrassing. I've not been super impressed with the development of Ice and Nuke. I really thought that these two showed a lot of promise, and they have not maintained that momentum.
Yeah, it feels like everything that they could have done to, like, mess up the roster over, you know, the last 24 months, they managed to do. I mean, Ice is like a player that I feel like if he goes to a different team, gets in a new environment, it might be like the Rahel effect of just
True.
Get him into a new environment, get him in an organization that actually kind of seems like it cares, because it feels like BDS, like the back half of this year, just has been like, you know what, we're just going to make it to off season, see what we can do about the roster, and then go from there.
You're right. Dignitas is going to sign ICE in this offseason.
Oh, my gosh. Guaranteed. No, please don't do that. Please.
Yeah, not a lot to talk about in that one, but yeah. We do want to get into this next one. G2 versus KC. Very exciting match. A rematch here between these two organizations. But this was also the first hurdle for G2. They made quick work of Fnatic in Group B, really proving that that group was fraudulent. And now we're like, okay, but how do they look against KC? Badger, how would you say the kind of number one team in EU is looking right now, now that we finally got to see them against one of the top teams in the region?
I think we can confidently say that G2 is back.
Yep.
I mean, they had their moments. The game one Kled, you know, just trying to come out with a haymaker, and you definitely mean he definitely.
They were
missed.
Having fun with it, man. They were playing LeBlanc, LeBlanc in game one of Fearless, and once I saw LeBlanc Kled, I was like, oh, this is old G2, baby.
I was like, G2's got their swagger that they have back. Yeah. I think once they got that. Like first game out of the way, just the haha hee hee funny game, like give KC a game to give them false hope pretty much, and then it was just, you know, beat down after beat down after beat down. They're definitely, I think, going into this, the rest of playoffs, they're auto qualified because they won the series. I think the stress is going to be lessened, or the burden's going to be lessened at this point, and they can just kind of go back to playing the G2 like loosey, I don't want to say loosey goosey, but like definitely the old G2 way of just, hey, we have all these stupid ridiculous picks that you probably aren't prepared for.
Caps is playing Ziggs now.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, Caps Ziggs in game four, I was like, oh, okay, I guess he's just a Ziggs player now. Sure.
On Volley Bear, like full tank Volley. Well, I guess he built like a little AP early, but like almost full tank Volley Bear.
Yeah,
that was. They got picks right now. G2.
They got picks. They got. They're back to having champion oceans. It just felt like they were, you know, pretty one dimensional there for a while and just not executing well. But like, it's good. It's honestly, as much as we like clown on EU and stuff like that, when like G2 and like McCoy and KC, because like KC is not a bad team in any regards. Like G2 might just we call it EU a one team region for the longest time just because G2 was so dominant, and like this KC team, I mean, they're still good. Like Vladdy and Kaliz, I think, are just insanely good players, and like Kana is like this world class potential top laner that I still cannot believe is on this team, by the way. Like, it's just weird to see Casey Kana all the time.
In a weird way, he did almost feel like the weak link in this series.
Yeah.
Us were kind of the ones that were dropping the ball more often than not. But, I mean, they are against G2. I agree with the sentiment that they are still a good team and will be fighting for...
I think they'll be fine. They should be. If they don't make it to Worlds, then that's... Oof.
That would be kind of.
I think they're favored over the
over Fnatic,
the other teams. Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. But that leads into the last series of the weekend. And Mazel, I gotta ask you a point blank question here because this is always fun. How many Merwin, notably my favorite top laner in EU for his wacky picks? How many meta picks do you think Merwin played in 5 games versus Fnatic? Give me an estimate here. What's your guess?
One.
One. Close. It was 2. He did play 2. I would say actual, like, normal top lane.
Yeah.
Game 1, Varus. Game 2, Akali. They flexed the Akali up top lane, which I know, like, isn't completely out of left field. Like, it has been played top lane.
Akali's good at
the
Gwen.
It's not common, right? It's not popular in the top lane. I wouldn't say it's meta. Yorick is kind of meta right now, so that one's aside. But then the Rek'Sai also coming out here, which has been getting more popularity. Finally ending with M'Bessa. It's like, okay, all right, dude. You get the M'Bessa game because you've gone through a lot of these others. He didn't play the Lulu, so I'm going to hold that against him. But still very fun. Game 1.
Oh, no. We didn't get to see top lane Lulu. Whatever will we do?
Hey, dude, I might be the only person in the world that cheers for that. But I'm going to goddamn cheer, all right? Also, speaking of 400 CS Civ games, that game one did go quite the distance. And that was one of the Fnatic wins right there. They found a really solid team fight around the Dragon. Poby had a pretty good Orianna. But outside of Poby's Orianna game, I actually did not look... I don't think that Poby has really stepped up to the other top mid laners in the league. Like, once you see Poby versus JoJo or Vladdy or versus Caps, suddenly you start to see the cracks in the armor that is Poby. And, yeah. Yeah, some of those cracks.
He is not adapting to EU very well at all, but you also have to remember he's 19.
You know, that is a good point. Very young player. It's very, very young.
We have a tradition of, you know, reading birthdays of players in the past just to feel old. God, because I just looked up his thing. Do you know when his birthday is? Do you know what year his birthday is?
I mean, if he's 19, it would be 2006, right?
February 7th, 2006.
Jeez. That's a couple months after the Xbox 360 was released. And yes. That is a couple months before the Wii and PlayStation 3 were released.
He is younger than the Xbox 360.
He is younger than the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's true, because Hulk did come out before.
Oh, wait, it was like 2004. No. I think that was 2007, or maybe 2008. Okay.
Incredible Hulk was 2005.
That's the first one, but that one's not part of the MCU canon. It was the second old Hulk with Edward Norton that's considered canon. Okay, so
That's 2008. All right, never mind. We derailed. Yep.
Gatgos is though, but we're not going to talk about that. It's fine. Sorry. Mm-hmm. The really close series between these two teams. Regardless, upset on game five. Smolder, 8-3-3. Still not able to carry the game because Supa Zeri was just that much better. Also, JoJo Ziggs has improved a lot too, so it's interesting to see a lot of these LEC teams have leaned on the Ziggs in playoffs now more and more.
I hate that Ziggs is starting to become meta again. I will be honest. Like, there's just something about that champion that I'm just like, I hate watching Ziggs. Like,
really?
Maybe it's the PTSD of Jhin'Air Gabes that goes 60 plus minutes and it's just watching farm over and over again and clearing waves. But like,
hey, at least we didn't get Ziggs with Sivir. That would be the most cursed timeline. But we did get a full weekend of LEC games. That is four best of fives in a row. It is Vitality, GX, G2 and Mkoi picking up their wins, meaning that Mkoi and G2 will have a date in the upper bracket finals. Both of them already qualifying for Worlds. There's one more world spot on the line between Fnatic, GX, KC, and Vitality now. With that said, let's talk about next week's predictions, because we have three best of fives ahead of us for LEC, starting off with KC versus Vitality. We all have KC taking this one, although Bazell, the Frenchman, actually has Vitality picking up a... Yes, the French team, right. French team.
French.
Is there any kind of like, I don't know how French. Insensitive it is, because I don't know the history between like French civil wars. I know that they've had them, but like, are we allowed to call this that? Like, I don't know if that's okay.
Wow, Kangas, you heard it here first. Kangas wants to pull out the guillotine for a live.
I was
going to
say, let them eat cake. Is that what you're saying? Like, Vitality is going to eat cake for one game? Like, come on.
Shouldn't Vitality win then? I mean, if they're like the oppressed team in the lower bracket? I don't know. Anyway, it's the French matchup between KC and Vitality. We all have KC taking it. Then it's Mkoi versus G2. This one is really exciting. The two teams that won in the upper bracket, it's G2 going through the gauntlet. They had Fnatic as their last opponent in Group B. Then they go into playoffs and they immediately go up against KC, and now immediately after that, Mkoi. So they're kind of running the competition here. Last chance to see if we can put the brakes on the G2 hype train. I think it's a 5-game series in G2's favor. Badger agrees G2, but with a 3-1. Mazel actually has Mkoi 3-2. You got JoJo Pure, baby! I just wanted to see how long you were going to go there. I think that was a good amount. That was an appropriate amount.
Bro's getting that MVP I called at the beginning of the year.
Oh,
he's going to get it.
Wait, you're right. Yeah. So we're all JoJo fans right now. Also, I got to give a shout out. Hawk has not been on the podcast in a very long time. He's very busy these days. But he did actually get both of his predictions correct I got to give shout-outs. I know it's a bit of a tangent. For Eltan, he had 100 Thieves disband after a playoffs loss to Shopify Rebellion.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
Technically, they did. And it was announced that they were leaving after they lost to Shopify Rebellion. That was crazy. And
but
then
it wasn't a playoff series.
It wasn't, but still I'm going to allow
caveats.
I'm going to allow it. It was close enough. And then for LEC, he said, somebody is kicked from Fnatic by Summer Split. Humanoid literally got
by Summer. You are picking and choosing your wins here, okay?
Well, did they not kick
Summer
Humanoid
Split?
Off?
But it's by Summer Split. So
yeah,
Poby's
been playing
Summer
the entirety
Split.
Of Summer Split.
I guess. But he wasn't kicked until just now. I'm just saying. We're going to bring the real. Got to bring the reels.
Okay, yes, Humanoid was active roster, but he didn't play a game. I would say these are both at least 75% of correct predictions.
All right, because I like Hawk, then sure, I'll give it to him.
I kind of forgot we did those at the beginning of the year, and I forgot
right?
what mine were.
I just wanted to give a shout out.
Hey, my NA one, is pretty good. My EU one is a little rough, though. It's
your
fun.
NA says Loki wins Rookie of the Year. C9 misses Worlds again. Wait a minute. Holy shit. That's actually a banger one. Oh, that's crazy.
I think mine's pretty good, too.
Mazel had 30%
becomes MVP.
Might be a little far off on that.
Maybe a little off on that one.
May be a little off on that one. We'll see. But anyway, back into the LEC predictions, because that was a slight tangent right there. MCOY versus G2, a little split on the cast, but for Fnatic GX, it is Fnatic 3-0 for Badger, Fnatic 3-0 for Mazel, and Fnatic getting 3-2'd by GX for me. Let's go. I'm all aboard the GX hype train, baby.
That's going to be wrong.
Realistically, I think Fnatic should win this, but I just was not convinced against their series versus either MCOY or G2. G2 looked even worse. I think GX, this was the two teams that I was like, I don't know which is fourth, but I think it's going to be between the two of them. I think KC beats either of them for that third world spot, but I think that this is actually a very close series. I just have been rooting for GX all year. I'm going to keep rooting for them. I could see this one going either way. That's our predictions. That's Yay. LEC, baby. And that is another episode of the League Rundown. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. Badger, I'm actually going to put you on the spot this time because I always do it to Mazel. Yeah, yeah. Badger, if somebody wanted to leave a review, how many stars would you recommend they leave?
I would say the same amount of stars as Targumus had deaths in game four of G2 versus KC, which would be 5.
That's a good amount of deaths, is it? It's a good amount of stars, at least.
So I mean, he went 0-5-0 on Maokai. Mickey X went 0-8-7 on Maokai. So, you know, that's pretty
that's
good.
That's rookie numbers, Targumus. That's rookie numbers. We got to bump those numbers up to Mickey numbers. Yeah. All right, but if you leave us a 5-star review, it really helps us get noticed. Thanks so much for tuning in to another week of the League Rundown. We have LTA Championships officially kicking off. We have LEC playoffs continuing to see who else will be representing them at Worlds. But most importantly, we have an amazing audience who we love. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, everyone. We'll be right back.